Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Pawn's Revenge, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The First Move. Rain lashed against the grime-streaked window of my third-floor apartment like it was punishing the glass for existing. The kind of rain that didn't fall, it attacked, needling the city with a cold, relentless fury. I sat at the wobbly kitchen table, staring at the gun. It wasn't the first time I'd held one, but it was the first time it felt like holding my own coffin. Victor Kane had placed it in my hands 2 hours earlier, his manicured fingers lingering just a beat too long on mine. "One bullet, Adrian," he'd said, his voice syrup smooth, the kind of tone that made you want to believe him even as he fed you lies. "One man. And then we're square. Square." The word tasted like ash. 10 years ago, Victor squared my sister's medical bills when the doctors said her cancer was terminal. "Think of it as a gift," he'd told me, clapping a hand on my shoulder like we were old friends. I was 22, broke, and drowning in panic. I didn't ask why a man like him, a man who owned half the city's shell corporations and all of its silence, would bother with a dying waitress he'd never met. I just wept and thanked him. Biggest mistake of my life. The gun gleamed under the flickering kitchen light, its barrel a black hole whispering promises. I traced the serial number, long since filed off. Victor's fingerprints, metaphorically speaking. He never touched the dirty work. That's what pawns like me were for. The apartment reeked of mildew and regret. I hadn't paid the heating bill in months, so I wore 2 layers of threadbare sweaters and nursed a lukewarm coffee that tasted like motor oil. My sister's photo sat propped against a cracked mug, Lila, her smile brighter than the neon sign outside the window. She'd been dead 8 years, but Victor made sure I'd never forget the debt. "Every job, every favor," he'd remind me. "You owe me a life, Adrian." Hers. And I paid. God, how I paid. First, it was small things. Driving a van with tinted windows. Delivering envelopes fat with cash to men in parking garages. Then it was scrubbing blood out of the trunk of a Lexus. Burning clothes in a barrel behind Victor's import-export warehouse. Last year, he made me bury a body in the wetlands north of the city. The man's face still haunts me, pale, bloated, one eye frozen open in a silent scream. I vomited for an hour afterward. Victor laughed and handed me a bourbon. "Your family now," he said. "Family." A fist of nausea tightened in my gut. I stood abruptly, the chair screeching against the linoleum, and paced the cramped room. My reflection in the fogged window stared back, a gaunt ghost with hollow eyes. When did I start looking like him? Like the men I'd seen come and go in Victor's orbit, their souls sanded down to nothing? The file Victor gave me lay splayed on the table. Marcus Hale, 46 years old, CEO of Hale Holdings. The photo showed a man carved from marble, sharp jaw, ice-gray eyes, a suit that cost more than my life. According to Victor, Marcus was a problem. A thief. A rat. "He's stealing from me," Victor had hissed, his usual charm cracking to reveal the rot beneath. "You take him out and we're done. No more favors. No more debt." I wanted to believe him. Needed to. But Victor's promises were like spiderwebs, beautiful until you realized they were traps. Still, what choice did I have? He owned me. Owned the cops, the judges, the silence that followed him like a shadow. If I refused, I'd be the next body in the wetlands. I slumped back into the chair, the gun cold in my grip. The rain hissed louder. Flashback, 3 weeks earlier. Victor's office was a cathedral of corruption. Mahogany walls, a Persian rug soaked with decades of secrets, a humidor full of cigars that cost more than my rent. He'd summon me at midnight, which was never good. "Sit," he said, not looking up from his ledger. I sat. The leather chair groaned. "You've been loyal, Adrian." His gold pen scratched across paper. "Unlike some." I said nothing. Compliments from Victor were landmines. He finally looked up, his smile a knife slit. "I have a job. A sensitive one. I don't kill people," I said too fast. He laughed, a sound like gravel in a blender. You've buried them. Burned them. You think that makes you clean? He leaned forward, his cologne, bergamot and something darker, smothering the air. This is your chance to be free. One bullet, and I erase your debt. All of it. My throat tightened. Free. The word was a drug. Why me? Because you're invisible. He said it without malice, like stating the weather. Cops don't see you. Security cameras forget you. It's a gift, really. A gift. Right. He slid the file across the desk. Marcus Hale's face stared up, his eyes mocking me already. He'll be at the gala next Friday. Black tie. Crowded room. You'll blend in. And if I get caught... Victor's smile didn't waver. You won't. Present. The gala was tomorrow. I'd spent weeks casing Marcus's penthouse, his office, his routines. He liked bourbon, cigars, and women who didn't ask questions. He donated to charities, hosted fundraisers, and smiled for the cameras like he hadn't built his empire on bones. Just like Victor. My hands shook as I loaded the gun. A single bullet, as instructed. One shot, Victor had said. Make it clean. But nothing was clean. Not anymore. I pulled Lila's photo closer. I'm sorry, I whispered. Her smile didn't change. It never did. The rain slowed to a drizzle. Somewhere in the building, a pipe groaned. I thought about running. Disappearing. But Victor's reach was long, and he'd made it clear. There were no exits from this game. Only endgames. I pocketed the gun. Tomorrow, I'd become a murderer. But tonight, I'd drown in the ghost of my sister's laugh and the crushing weight of the truth. I'd sold my soul long before I pulled the trigger. Chapter 2, The Mark. The penthouse smelled like money. Not the crisp, new-bill kind, but the stale, rotting stench of it, perfume masking sweat, polished marble hiding bloodstains. I stood in the service elevator, clutching a tray of caviar canapes I'd swiped from the catering cart, my janitor's uniform itching like a second skin. The elevator music oozed through the speakers, a soulless violin cover of a pop song. It felt like a taunt. 3 weeks of planning. 3 weeks of watching Marcus Hale's life unfold through binoculars and hacked security feeds. 3 weeks of memorizing his routines, his vices, the way he adjusted his cufflinks before stepping into his black town car. I knew he took his coffee black with a pinch of salt, a habit he'd picked up in the military. Knew he slept with a loaded Glock under his pillow. Knew he'd donated $50,000 to a children's hospital the same day he'd ordered a rival's warehouse torched. Hypocrisy was his currency. Just like Victor. The elevator dinged, and I stepped into a hallway wider than my apartment. Crystal chandeliers dripped from the ceiling, their light catching on gold-framed portraits of Marcus shaking hands with politicians, celebrities, men with dead eyes. My shoes squeaked on the marble, betraying me with every step. Blend in, Victor had said during our last meeting, his fingers drumming on the barrel of the gun he'd gifted me. You're a ghost, Adrian. Act like one. But ghosts don't sweat. Don't feel their pulse thrumming in their ears like a bomb countdown. I tightened my grip on the tray and turned the corner, nearly colliding with a security guard. He was built like a fridge, his hand resting on his holstered weapon. You lost. I kept my gaze lowered, shoulders slouched. Catering sent me up. Mr. Hale's order. A lie. Marcus was at a charity auction downtown, schmoozing with socialites. His absence was a 90-minute window, a gift from Victor, who'd bribed Marcus's driver to detour through gridlock. The guard narrowed his eyes. Nobody told me about. Check the log, I said, nodding toward the iPad in his hand. Order number 407. Lobster risotto, truffle oil, extra parm. Another lie. But Victor's hacker had planted the order in the system, along with a fake employee profile for me. Milo Jennings, 34, temp staff. The guard scrolled, shrugged, and jerked his thumb toward the double doors at the end of the hall. Kitchen's through there. Don't touch anything. I nodded, shuffling past him. The gun taped to the small of my back felt like a branding iron. Flashback, 2 weeks earlier. Victor's men had set up a makeshift surveillance nest in a condemned building across from Marcus's penthouse. The room reeked of mold and cigarette ash, the windows boarded up except for a slit where a camera lens peered through. He's paranoid, Victor said, handing me a grainy photo of Marcus's security team. Ex-military. They sweep for bugs twice a day. Change patrol routes every 48 hours. I stared at the photo. How am I supposed to get close? Victor's smile was a razor. You'll be the help. Janitors, caterers, delivery boys, rich folks look right through them. He leaned in, his breath sour with whiskey. But you'll need insurance. In case things go sideways, he slid a burner phone across the table. On the screen, a live feed of my apartment. My neighbor, Mrs. Rossi, watered her geraniums on the fire escape. Cute old lady, Victor said. Be a shame if someone pushed her down the stairs. Present. Marcus's kitchen was a stainless steel tomb. I set the tray down, gloved hands trembling as I pulled the gun free. The suppressor felt cold and heavy, a grotesque appendage. One bullet. One man. But first, the security system. Marcus had a state-of-the-art setup, motion sensors, biometric locks, panic buttons disguised as light switches. Or so he thought. Victor's men had already sliced through the building's firewall, looping the camera feeds. To anyone watching, this floor was empty. I crept toward the study, the plush carpet swallowing my footsteps. Marcus's sanctum. The door was ajar, the glow of a desk lamp spilling into the hall. He wasn't supposed to be here. My blood turned to ice. Through the crack, I saw him. Marcus Hale, slumped in a leather chair, a glass of bourbon in one hand, a pistol in the other. His tie was loose, his hair disheveled. On the desk, a photo of a woman, young laughing, her face scratched out with a knife. Victor send you? He slurred, not turning around. I froze. I can smell his stink on you, he said, raising the glass to his lips. That cheap cologne he thinks makes him smell important. The gun trembled in my grip. I don't know what you're talking about. Marcus laughed, a wet, broken sound. Sure you don't. He finally turned, his eyes bloodshot, his cheeks hollow. He looked nothing like the photo. A man eroded by secrets. How much he paying you? Or is it blackmail? I said nothing. Sweat trickled down my spine. Let me guess, he said, tapping his temple. Dead sister? Medical debt? Victor loves that angle. Plays the savior right up until he owns you. The words punched through me. Shut up. He tell you I stole from him? Marcus drained his glass, poured another. Truth is, he stole from me. My wife. My company. My life. He waved the pistol lazily. But you don't care, do you? You're just his dog. One bullet. I raised the gun. Just squeeze the... Wait. Marcus opened a desk drawer and tossed a file at my feet. Photos spilled out. Victor meeting with drug cartels. Victor handing a briefcase to a judge. Victor standing over my sister's hospital bed, whispering to a man in a lab coat. He's gonna burn you too, kid, Marcus said. Like he burned her. The room tilted. I grabbed the photo of my sister. Her eyes were closed, and four taped to her arm. Victor's hand on her shoulder. She wasn't sick, Marcus said softly. He poisoned her. Slow. Made it look like cancer. Needed you desperate enough to belong to him. Rage blurred my vision. You're lying. Am I? He nodded at the gun. Then shoot. But know this, if I die, every file I have on Victor goes public. Cops. Feds. News outlets. He'll kill you to keep you quiet. My finger hovered on the trigger. Victor's voice slithered through my mind. He's a liar, Adrian. A rat. Pull the trigger. But Marcus's eyes held no fear. Only pity. You want to be free, he said. Walk away. Let me ruin him. The gun felt like a lead weight. For a heartbeat, I almost lowered it. Then the door burst open. Two security guards, guns drawn. Drop it. Marcus's face hardened. Now you show up? Chaos. I fired. The bullet tore through Marcus's shoulder, slamming him into the bookshelf. He screamed, crimson blooming across his shirt. The guards lunged. I dodged, sprinting for the window. The emergency exit. Victor's plan B. I crashed through the fire escape door, the cold night air biting my face. Sirens wailed below. I clattered down the stairs, the gun still smoking in my hand. He was lying. He had to be. But as I vanished into the alley, Marcus's words followed me, clinging like the stench of blood. You're his dog. Later, Victor found me in the abandoned church where we'd agreed to meet. He backhanded me so hard I tasted copper. You were supposed to kill him. He knew. I spat. He knew you sent me. Victor's laugh was a snarl. Of course he did. I told him. The confession hit me like a bullet. What? Had to make it look real, he said, lighting a cigar. Marcus thinks he's playing me. Thinks those files of his matter. He blew smoke in my face. But here's the truth, Adrian. Tonight, you didn't just shoot Marcus. You shot his mistress. The woman he's been hiding in Milan. He tossed a photo on the pew. The woman from Marcus's desk, her face not scratched out but burned, her body lying in a pool of blood. You framed me, I whispered. Framing implies subtlety, Victor said. This is a message. Now Marcus will come for you. And when he does, he patted my cheek. You'll put him down for good. I stared at the photo. The woman's dead eyes mirrored my sister's. One bullet. One man. But Victor had already reloaded. Chapter 3. The Unraveling. Victor's mansion loomed over the cliffside like a gargoyle, its windows glowing amber against the bruised purple sky. I sat in my car at the base of the driveway, engine idling, fingers gripping the steering wheel so tight the leather groaned. Marcus Hale's blood had dried under my nails, crusted in the creases of my knuckles. I'd scrubbed my hands raw in a gas station bathroom, but the stain wouldn't lift. You're his dog. Marcus's voice had become a parasite, burrowing into my skull. I'd replayed the shooting 100 times. The way his body jerked when the bullet hit. The look in his eyes, not fear, not anger, but something worse, disappointment. Like he'd expected better from me. The burner phone in my pocket buzzed. A text from Victor. Come. Now. I killed the engine and stepped into the biting coastal wind. The ledger I'd stolen from Marcus's study weighed heavy in my jacket, its pages stuffed with numbers that didn't add up. Payments to offshore accounts. Shell companies with names like Blackthorn Holdings and Vesper Solutions. And my name, circled in red ink beside a $2.3 million withdrawal dated the week Lila died. The mansion's front doors swung open before I could knock. Victor's butler, Graves, stood silhouetted in the foyer light. He was a cadaver in a tuxedo, his face all sharp angles and cold disdain. He's waiting in the study, Graves said, not bothering to hide his smirk. Try not to track filth on the rug. The rug in question was a 19th-century Persian worth more than my life. I made sure to stomp mud on its frayed edges as I followed him down the hall. Victor's study smelled of cedar and decay. He stood at the floor-to-ceiling window, back to me, swirling a glass of bourbon. The city glittered far below, a galaxy of lies. You missed, he said, not turning around. I tossed the ledger onto his desk. It skidded, knocking over a framed photo of Victor shaking hands with a senator I recognized from the news. He knew your name. Knew you sent me. How? Victor sipped his drink. Marcus has always been observant. Bullshit. I flipped the ledger open to the page with my name. You took money from him. 2 million, 3 days before Lila's diagnosis. What did you buy? For a heartbeat, his shoulders stiffened. Then he laughed, low and venomous. You think you've uncovered some grand conspiracy, Adrian? Those numbers are his thefts. His betrayals. Then explain this. I slammed a crumpled hospital invoice on the desk. Lila's final bill, stamped paid in full by Victor's foundation. The doctors said her cancer was rare. Untreatable. But Marcus told me. Marcus lied. Victor snapped, finally facing me. His eyes were black pits. He'd say anything to save his own skin. Then why does he have photos of you in her hospital room? The silence that followed was thick enough to choke on. Victor set down his glass, the click of crystal onward unnervingly precise. You've been busy, he said softly. Flashback, 8 years earlier. The hospital hallway fluorescents buzzed like wasps. Lila's room was at the end of the hall, door slightly ajar. I'd just gotten off my shift at the docks, reeking of fish and diesel, but she never cared. Hey, bug, I whispered, pushing the door open. She wasn't alone. A man in a tailored charcoal suit stood by her bed, his back to me. Lila's wrist was clasped in his hand, her face pale as the sheets. Assure you, Ms. Voss, this is the best option, the man said. The trial medication is very promising. I need to discuss it with my brother, Lila rasped. Time is a luxury you don't have. I stepped forward, fists clenched. Get away from her. The man turned. Victor Kane. Younger, but already carved from ice. Ah, he said, smiling. The brother. Present. Victor rounded the desk, his movements predator smooth. You were never supposed to see those photos. You poisoned her. The words tore out of me, ragged and raw. Made her sick so I'd owe you. He chuckled. Poison so crude. I simply expedited nature. He opened a drawer, pulled out a syringe filled with viscous amber liquid. A hormone accelerator. Untraceable. It didn't cause the cancer. Just helped it along. The room tilted. I lunged for him, but Graves materialized behind me, pressing a gun to my temple. Careful, Victor purred. You're still useful. I spat at his shoes. Go to hell. Already there. He nodded to Graves. Show him. The butler dragged me downstairs to the vault, a steel tomb hidden behind a painting of Victor's dead wife. Inside, filing cabinets, hard drives, a wall of monitors playing surveillance feeds, and a shelf labeled Adrian Voss. Photos of me following Marcus, blueprints of his penthouse, a USB drive labeled Lila. Graves shoved me into a chair and cuffed my wrists to the armrests. Enjoy the show. The screen flickered to life. Lila's hospital room. Victor stood at her bedside, holding the syringe. This will help you sleep, he cooed. She turned her head away. Where's Adrian? Working. He injected the fluid into her fore. But don't worry. I'll take care of everything. The video cut to the night she died. Me, slumped in the hallway chair, half asleep. Victor slipping into her room. His hand over her mouth, pinching her nose shut. Her legs thrashing, then still. I vomited. Grace's uncuffed me with a sneer. He wants you upstairs. The deal. Victor waited in the study, the syringe now empty. You have two choices, he said. Finish Marcus, and I let you live. Or refuse, and I release this video to the press. Imagine the headlines. Grieving brother kills hospital staff in deranged rampage. He tossed a news article draft onto the desk, my face photoshopped into a mugshot. You're a monster, I whispered. We both are. He pressed a fresh gun into my hand. Marcus is at the docks. Warehouse 17. End him, and I'll burn the footage. The gun felt alive, hungry. I could have turned it on him. Should've. But Lila's face filled my vision, her last smile, her whispered love you bug. I pocketed the gun. Victor smiled. Good dog. Warehouse 17. The docks reeked of salt and diesel. Warehouse 17 was a rusted skeleton, its doors creaking in the wind. Inside, Marcus knelt on the concrete, hands bound, face swollen and bloody. Victor's men had already softened him up. He looked up as I entered. Knew he'd send you. I aimed the gun. Any last words? Yeah. He grinned, red teeth gleaming. Check your pockets. A phone buzzed. My phone. A video notification. Live feed, Victor's vault. On screen, Graves, stacking gasoline cans around the files. Marcus laughed. He's gonna burn it all. Your sister's records. The truth. You. The gun trembled. Why tell me? Because I want you to know, he coughed. You're not the only one he betrayed. A shout outside. Sirens. I pulled the trigger. Click. Empty. Marcus's laugh echoed as I ran, the warehouse erupting in flames behind me. Victor's voice crackled through an earpiece I hadn't realized I was wearing. Game over, Adrian. Chapter 4, The Puppeteer. The city's underbelly had become my chapel, its alleys my pews. I spent nights in a flophouse above a meth den, the walls throbbing with the screams of addicts and the reek of burnt plastic. Victor's men were hunting me. So were Marcus's. And the cops. And the feds. My face plastered on every screen, every newspaper. Adrian Voss. Armed and dangerous. The photo they used was my old DMV picture. My eyes hollow, my smile forced. Lila had taken it. You look like a serial killer, she'd joked. I hadn't slept in 72 hours. Paranoia was my new pulse. Every shadow breathed. Every engine backfire was a gunshot. But in the cracks between fear and rage, I'd found clarity. Victor had taught me how to rot a man from the inside. Now I'd return the favor. The first thread. Victor's empire was built on three pillars: his nightclubs, his shipping contracts, and his girls. The latter weren't just escorts, they were honey traps, armed with wiretaps and blackmail fodder. His favorite was Elise, a razor blade smile, legs that could strangle a man, and a heroin habit Victor kept her on a leash with. I found her at Velvet, a club where the bass shook your bones and the air tasted like sweat and cocaine. She was in a VIP booth, pouring champagne into the lap of a city councilman. His face was beet red, his wedding ring glinting under the strobe lights. I slipped into the seat beside her, the gun in my waistband pressing into my ribs. Elise, we need to talk. She didn't look at me. You're supposed to be dead. Still breathing. I slid a photo across the table, Elise, age 16, standing outside a foster home. Victor's hand on her shoulder. He took you in. Then he took everything. Her manicured fingers tightened around the champagne flute. What do you want? Access. To his accounts. His schedules. His secrets. She laughed, bitter and hollow. You think I'll betray him for you? I placed a small Ziploc bag next to the photo. Pure heroin, stolen from Victor's private stash. No. You'll do it for this. Her resolve cracked like thin ice. The web. Elise's intel was a gold mine. Victor's offshore accounts. His meet with the cartel at dawn. The safe house where he stashed his blackmail files. But I needed more than information. I needed chaos. I started with the nightclubs. Hired a crew of tweakers to plant child porn on the servers. Called in anonymous tips to Vice. Watched from a rooftop as SWAT teams stormed Velvet, dragging out politicians and judges in handcuffs. Victor's name trended by sunrise. Next, the shipping yards. Used Elise's codes to reroute a container of electronics to a rival gang. Let them find the kilos of cocaine buried beneath boxes. The resulting bloodbath made the front page. But Victor adapted. Always. He blamed a rogue employee, donated to police charities, and smiled for the cameras. I needed to cut deeper. The Judas kiss. Graves, Victor's cadaver butler, met me in a parking garage at midnight. He looked gaunter, his suit hanging loose. He knows you're behind the leaks, he said, lighting a cigarette. And yet he sent you. He's offering a deal. Graves handed me a burner phone. On screen, a live feed of Mrs. Rossi, my old neighbor, tied to a chair in a damp room. Call off your war, or she drowns. The phone trembled in my grip. Mrs. Rossi had fed me lasagna when Lila died. Let me cry on her couch. He's bluffing. Graves smirked. Are you? I texted Elise. Now. A minute later, Graves' phone buzzed. His face paled. On screen, his granddaughter's preschool live-streamed to his device. A van idling outside. You're not the only one with leverage, I said. He lunged, but I slammed his head into the concrete. Tell Victor I'm coming. And Graves. I yanked his tie, tightening it like a noose. If that old woman dies, your family burns. The blood price. I met Elise at the docks. She was shivering, her pupils pinpricks. I did what you asked. Now give it to me. I held up the heroin. One more thing. Fuck you. Victor's meeting the cartel tonight. I need you there. Or this. I tossed her a necklace, a silver pendant with a hidden camera. She snatched the drugs. He'll kill me. He'll kill you anyway. I stepped closer. You think he'll let you retire? You're a witness, Elise. And Victor cleans up his messes. She swallowed, the necklace clutched in her fist. You're worse than him. I'm learning. The trap. The cartel meat was in a meatpacking plant, the air thick with the stench of blood and bleach. Victor arrived with four men, their suits tailored to hide bulges. The cartel leader, a scarred brute named Ruiz, brought twice as many. Elise stood by Victor's side, the pendant glinting. I watched the feed from a van outside, my finger on the detonator. You've lost control, Kane, Ruiz sneered. My product's getting seized. Cops are crawling up my culo. You promised protection. Victor's smile was ice. Temporary setbacks. My new partner will ensure. Partner. Ruiz drew a pistol. You think I'll answer to some phantasma? Elise's hand slipped into her purse. Wait, Victor said calm. Let's discuss this like. Elise lunged, stabbing a syringe into Ruiz's neck. He convulsed, foaming at the mouth. Chaos erupted. Gunfire. Screams. Victor grabbed Elise's arm. What the hell did you? She kissed him, deep and desperate, then jammed the syringe into his thigh. For my sister. Victor staggered, his face purpling. You bitch. I pressed the detonator. The explosion blew the roof off. The fallout. Elise's body was found 3 blocks away, neck snapped. Victor survived, barely. ICU, critical condition. The news cycled the footage of Ruiz's men dragging Elise from the flames, her pendant catching the light. But in the chaos, I'd raided Victor's safe house. Stole every file, every tape. And left a parting gift. Mrs. Rossi's address, sent to every gang Victor had ever crossed. The pawn had become the blade. And the board was mine. Chapter 5, The Checkmate. The ICU smelled like antiseptic and hubris. I stood outside Victor's room, disguised in scrubs and a surgical mask, watching his chest rise and fall through the glass. Tubes snaked from his arms and throat, machines beeping a lazy elegy. The cartel's toxin had shriveled him to a wax figure, his skin jaundiced, his once immaculate hair matted with sweat. But his eyes, when they flicked open, sharp and reptilian, they still held that familiar venom. A nurse brushed past me, clipboard in hand. You family? Just the janitor, I said, adjusting my mask. She frowned. Well, janitor, mop up that mess. She nodded to a spill near the elevators, blood thick and dark, seeping from a biohazard bin. I grabbed a mop, the handle slick in my grip. The blood swirled in the bucket, a Rorschach of violence. My violence. My mess. But Victor wasn't the only one bleeding. The first move. 3 days earlier, I'd broken into Victor's penthouse. His security system was a graveyard of cut wires and shattered cameras. The place had been ransacked, furniture gutted, paintings slashed, the floor littered with shredded documents. His enemies had picked the carcass clean, except for the vault. Behind a false wall in his study, I found it, a titanium door with a retinal scanner. Victor's real treasure. I dragged Graves there at gunpoint, his hands zip-tied, his left eye swollen shut. "Open it," I said, shoving him toward the scanner. He spat blood. "You think he'd trust me with access?" I pressed the gun to his kneecap. "Try." The scanner beeped red. Graves laughed, a wet, gurgling sound. "Told you. He doesn't trust anyone." I shot him in the foot. He screamed. "Try again." The scanner beeped green. "Liar." The vault hissed open, revealing stacks of gold bars, diamonds in velvet sacks, and a wall of hard drives labeled Damocles. I grabbed a drive at random, plugging it into Victor's laptop. Files. Hundreds. Blackmail on senators. Drug routes. Payoffs. And a folder titled Adrian Voss. Inside, surveillance logs of my entire life. My first job interview. My first kiss. Lila's funeral. And a video timestamp 2 weeks before her diagnosis. Victor, leaning over her sleeping form, slipping a vial of liquid into her fore. "Sweet dreams, little sister," he whispered. I vomited into a gold-plated trash can. The second move. I met Marcus Hale in a derelict church, its pews rotting, stained glass shattered by time and neglect. He limped in, leaning on a cane, his face a patchwork of scars and fury. "You look like hell," I said. "You smell like it," he shot back, collapsing into a pew. "Why the fuck should I trust you?" I tossed him the Damocles drive. "Because Victor's going to wake up. And when he does, he'll come for both of us." Marcus scrolled through the files, his jaw tightening. "This proves nothing. Just more of his games. Check the metadata." I handed him a printout. "Timestamps. Locations. Bank trails. It's all there. He's been laundering through your charities, your shell companies. You're not his rival, you're his fall guy." Marcus's cane cracked across my shin. I hit the floor, pain spidering up my leg. "You think I don't know that?" he hissed. "You think I'm some puppet?" I grabbed his cane, yanking him down. "We're all puppets. But I know where the strings are." He stared at me, breathing hard. "What's your play?" "Burn it all. Leak the files. The accounts. The truth. And then what?" "Then we kill him." Marcus smiled, a jagged, broken thing. "You're crazier than he is. I'm learning from the best. The sacrifice." The leak went viral at 3 a.m. News anchors tripped over phrases like unprecedented corruption and criminal empire. Senators resigned. CEOs jumped from windows. The NYPD raided Victor's properties, seizing everything but the vault. I'd emptied it the night before, the gold and diamonds now buried in a storage locker under a fake name. But Victor's true weapon wasn't his money. It was his reach. At dawn, a car bomb detonated outside Marcus's penthouse. His bodyguard's remains decorated the sidewalk like confetti. Marcus called me, his voice raw. "He's awake." I froze, the phone slippery in my hand. "How? Money. Power. Hate." A cough, wet and ragged. "He's coming for you, Adrian. And he's not alone." The line went dead. The endgame. Victor's mansion was a fortress again, armed men patrolling the gates. I watched through binoculars from a neighboring cliff, the wind clawing at my coat. Graves' granddaughter's pink hair ribbon was tied around my wrist, insurance. At midnight, the guards changed shifts. I slipped through the blind spot, scaling the cliff face with crampons and sheer spite. Victor's bedroom balcony loomed above, its curtains fluttering like ghostly hands. He was waiting. "Took you long enough," he rasped, propped up in bed, a pistol in his lap. The machines still beeped beside him, their cables snaking under his silk pajamas. I stepped inside, gun raised. "You look like shit. You look like a corpse." He coughed, blood speckling his lips. "But here we are. Where's Lila's video?" "Safe. Along with copies. Kill me, and it goes public. I'll take that chance." He laughed, a rattling wheeze. "You still don't get it, do you? This was never about her. It was about you." He tapped his temple. "I needed someone with nothing to lose. Someone malleable." "You're lying." "Am I?" He pressed a button on the nightstand. The TV flickered to life, showing a live feed of my storage locker. Men in tactical gear were loading the gold into trucks. "You stole from me. Now I'll steal from you." "Poetic, no." I aimed at his head. "Goodbye, Victor." "Wait." He lifted a trembling hand. "I'll trade you. the video for the Damocles files. Why would I trust you? Because I'm dying. He yanked open his pajama shirt, revealing a chest mottled with purple lesions. The toxin's irreversible. I've got weeks. Let me die in peace, and the truth dies with me. I hesitated. The gun wavered. Victor's finger twitched toward the panic button under his sheets. I pulled the trigger. Click. Empty. He grinned, pulling out his own gun. Checkmate. The bullet tore through my shoulder before I could move. I crashed through the balcony doors, glass shredding my skin, and plummeted toward the rocks below. The last thing I heard was Victor's laugh, a dying man's requiem. Chapter 6, The Truth. The rocks below Victor's cliff were jagged teeth, hungry and unforgiving. I hit them like a sack of wet cement, my body snapping against the stone, the icy spray of the Atlantic clawing at my wounds. Pain erupted in white-hot bursts, my shoulder, my ribs, my leg bent at a grotesque angle. But the cold water was a mercy. It swallowed me whole, numbing the agony, dragging me deeper into the black. Lila's voice, swim, bug. Swim or sink. I kicked. Or tried to. My left leg hung limp, bones grinding. Salt water burned my lungs. The waves tossed me like a toy, slamming me into the rocks again, until my fingers found a crevice. I clung to it, gasping, the taste of copper thick on my tongue. Above, Victor's mansion loomed, its windows glowing like predators' eyes. I don't know how long I crawled. Hours? Days? The moon was a blurred coin behind storm clouds when I dragged myself onto the shore, half-drowned, my clothes shredded, the gunshot wound in my shoulder oozing crimson into the sand. But survival wasn't new to me. I'd spent a lifetime crawling out of graves. The shepherd. The shack reeked of fish guts and diesel. The old man who found me didn't ask questions. He stitched my shoulder with a needle sterilized in whiskey, splinted my leg with driftwood, and fed me clam chowder that tasted like guilt. "Name's Eli," he grunted, tossing me a moth-eaten blanket. "You're lucky my dog pissed on that rock. Else I'd have left you for the gulls." I didn't thank him. Gratitude was a currency I couldn't afford. For 3 days, I lay on a cot, feverish, drifting in and out of nightmares. Lila's face. Victor's laugh. The Damocles files burning in my hands. On the fourth day, Eli threw a newspaper at me. Kane Empire crumbles. Tycoon linked to cartel, corruption scandal. The photo showed Victor being wheeled into a courthouse, an oxygen mask strapped to his face, his eyes still sharp behind the plastic. My chest tightened. He wasn't dead. "That's you, ain't it?" Eli jabbed a gnarled finger at the article's sidebar, a pixelated surveillance still of me fleeing the docks. Adrian Voss, fugitive sought in connection with bombings, murder. I met his gaze. "You gonna turn me in?" He spat into a rusted bucket. "Ain't my business. But the boys at the marinas got a $2 million bounty on your head. Word travels fast when you stink of blood." I stood, my leg screaming. "I'll go. Sit down, idiot." He tossed me a greasy rucksack. "Got something for you." Inside, a burner phone, a .38 revolver, and a keycard labeled Blackthorn Facility, Level 5. "Found it in your pocket when I dragged you in," Eli said. "Figured you'd want it back." The keycard. From Victor's vault. The ghost in the machine. Blackthorn Facility was a concrete tumor on the outskirts of the city, hidden behind a chain-link fence and NO trespassing signs. Victor's private research lab, according to the Damocles files. The place where he'd developed the toxin that killed Elise. Where he'd experimented. I broke in at 3 a.m., the keycard granting me silent passage through steel doors. The halls were sterile, lit by flickering fluorescence, the air thick with the stench of chemicals and decay. Lab rats scurried in cages, their eyes glowing red in the dark. Room 5B was a morgue. Freezers lined the walls, each labeled with a name and date. I opened one. Lila Voss. My knees buckled. She lay there, preserved, her skin waxy, her hair still streaked with the pink dye she'd loved at 19. A tag on her toe. Subject 227. Termination successful. Bile rose in my throat. Victor hadn't just killed her. He'd kept her. A monitor flickered on, static crackling. Then Victor's face filled the screen, pre-recorded, his voice oozing smugness. "Hello, Adrian. If you're seeing this, you've finally grown a spine. But did you really think I'd let you win?" The freezer locks clicked shut. Gas hissed from vents. "Say hello to your sister for me." The betrayal. The explosion blew the door off its hinges. Marcus Hale stood in the rubble, a grenade launcher on his shoulder, his scarred face twisted in a grin. "You're welcome." I stumbled out, coughing, Lila's body cradled in my arms. Why? He shrugged. Victor's got a new partner. Someone worse. I need you alive to kill them both. Partner. The elevator dinged. Graves stepped out, flanked by mercenaries, his once pristine suit stained with blood. Hello, traitors. Marcus aimed his gun. You're supposed to be dead. So are you. Graves snapped his fingers. The mercenaries raised their rifles. But Mr. Kane prefers hands-on management. The gunfire was deafening. I dove behind a lab table, Lila's body slung over my shoulder. Marcus grabbed my arm, dragging me toward the exit. The files. I yelled. We need the research. Fuck the files. He shoved me into a stairwell. He's got a nuke. The truth. We barricaded ourselves in a storage closet, the sound of boots echoing outside. Marcus bandaged his bullet-grazed arm, cursing. Victor's not just laundering money. He's selling bioweapons. The toxin that hit me? It's a prototype. The buyer's some warlord in Kazakhstan. Graves is brokering the deal. I stared at Lila's body on the floor. Why save me? Because you're the only one he's afraid of. Marcus handed me a flash drive. Stole this from Graves. It's the shipment manifest. Coordinates. Times. You sink it, you sink Victor. And you? He grinned. I've got a date with Graves. The closet door splintered. Marcus kicked it open, unleashing a hail of bullets. I ran, Lila's cold hand in mine, the flash drive burning a hole in my pocket. The choice. The docks were silent, the cargo ship looming in the fog. I planted C4 on the hull, my hands steady for the first time in weeks. Victor's voice crackled over a stolen earpiece. Adrian, stop this, and I'll let you bury her. I pressed the detonator. Go to hell. The explosion lit the night, fire consuming the ship, the bioweapons, Victor's legacy. But in the flames, I saw it, a shadow slipping away in a lifeboat. Graves. And beside him, a figure with a pink hair ribbon. Mrs. Rossi. Chapter 7, The Trap. The docks burned like the gates of hell had swung open. Flames clawed at the night sky, their reflection rippling in the oil-slick water as I stumbled through the smoke, Lila's body slumped over my shoulder. Her hair, still streaked with faded pink, brushed against my neck, a ghostly caress. Mrs. Rossi's face haunted me worse. Her kind eyes now vacant, the pink hair ribbon Graves had used to bind her wrists fluttering in the inferno's updraft. She'd been working with him. All along. The betrayal carved a hole in me deeper than any bullet. The safe house. I holed up in a derelict subway tunnel, the walls scrawled with gang tags and the stench of urine. My leg, half-healed and still splinted with Eli's driftwood, screamed with every step. Lila's body lay wrapped in a tarp on the tracks, her presence a silent judge. The flash drive Marcus had given me, the one that supposedly held the nuke's coordinates, burned in my pocket like a live coal. I plugged it into a stolen laptop, the screen's blue glow my only light. Files spilled open. Schematics of a warhead, shipping logs, and a video labeled Final Instruction. Marcus's face filled the screen, blood trickling from his temple. If you're watching this, I'm dead. The nuke's real, Adrian. Victor's selling it to a warlord named Zakiev. Graves is the broker. But here's the kicker. Victor's not the boss anymore. He's got a partner. Someone you know. The video cut to security footage. Mrs. Rossi months earlier, handing a briefcase to Graves outside my old apartment. She was never your friend, Marcus's voiceover snarled. Victor had her groom you. Make you trust her. All part of the game. I slammed the laptop shut. The walls closed in, the truth suffocating. Every kindness, every lasagna, every you're like a son to me, lies. Tools to keep me pliant. A rat scuttled over my boot. I shot it, the gun's crack echoing down the tunnel. The ghost of Lila Voss. The fever came back. I dreamt of Lila alive, her laughter bouncing off the subway tiles. You should have let me die, she said, her skin peeling like wax. Now look what you've become. In the dream, I begged her to stay. She kissed my forehead, her lips cold. Finish it, bug. Burn them all. I woke to the taste of blood. My stitches had split, the gunshot wound in my shoulder weeping pink-tinged pus. Infection. Death's first whisper. But I couldn't die yet. The shepherd's price. Eli found me 2 days later, his face lit by a flickering flashlight. City's crawling with Graves' men. They're offering a Bentley for your head. I aimed the .38 at his chest. You here to collect? He tossed me a grease-stained paper bag. Inside, antibiotics, a fresh syringe of morphine, and a photo of a warehouse on the waterfront. Zakiev imports. Graves moved the nuke, Eli said. It's leaving tonight. And your granny's the escort. Mrs. Rossi. I loaded the morphine into the syringe. Why help me? Had a daughter once. He spat. Men like Graves took her. You're the closest thing to justice I'll get. The warehouse. Zakiev Imports was a fortress of rusted steel and flickering neon. Armed guards patrolled the perimeter, their rifles slung over shoulders still bearing cartel tattoos. I watched from a rooftop, the morphine dulling the pain to a bearable throb. Mrs. Rossi emerged at midnight, her floral dress replaced with tactical gear, Graves at her side. They boarded a cargo truck, the nuke's lead-lined container visible through the tarp. I slid down a fire escape, my leg buckling, and limped toward the fence. A guard spotted me, his shout cut short by my knife in his throat. I stole his uniform, the fabric sticking to my infected wound, and slipped inside. The truck's engine roared to life. The confrontation. I climbed into the container, the nuke's metallic bulk humming with lethal energy. Mrs. Rossi sat beside it, her back to me, a novel in her hands. Pride and Prejudice. Her favorite. You were supposed to die at the docks, she said, not looking up. You taught me to swim. She sighed, marking her page. I taught you to survive. There's a difference. I stepped into the light, the gun trembling. Why? Victor promised me protection. From the gangs, the cops, from you. She stood, her grandmotherly facade crumbling. You think I wanted to clean your blood off my couch? Listen to you sob over a corpse? You're pathetic, Adrian. A broken toy he let me play with. The truck hit a pothole, the nuke shifting. Mrs. Rossi lunged, a stiletto blade flashing. I caught her wrist, slamming her into the container wall. Where's Graves? She laughed, spitting blood. Setting the timer. You lose either way. A digital beep sounded. The nuke's display lit up, 15 minutes. The choice. I handcuffed Mrs. Rossi to the container and climbed into the cab. Graves grinned from the driver's seat, a detonator in his hand. Tick-tock, Adrian. I shot him. The bullet tore through his throat, his foot slamming the gas as he died. The truck veered, crashing through the warehouse doors and careening toward the harbor. The nuke's timer, 7 minutes and 23 seconds. I dragged Graves' corpse aside, seizing the wheel. The harbor loomed, a dead end. Mrs. Rossi's screams echoed from the container. I floored it. The dive. The truck plunged into the bay, water swallowing the cab. I kicked the window open, salt water stinging my wounds. The nuke sank, its timer glowing green in the depths. 1 minute and 15 seconds. Mrs. Rossi's face pressed against the container's window, her fists pounding. Bubbles streamed from her lips. A plea. A curse. I swam. The explosion tore the harbor apart, the shockwave punching my ribs. Debris rained, burning metal, body parts, pages of Pride and Prejudice. I floated amidst the wreckage, watching the firelight dance on the waves. Somewhere, Victor was laughing. Chapter 8, The Sacrifice. The harbor's black water clung to me like a second skin, the taste of salt and diesel sharp on my tongue. I crawled onto the jagged rocks of the break wall, my lungs heaving. Every breath a knife dragged through my ribs. Behind me, the bay still churned with debris, burning shrapnel, the skeletal remains of the truck, and the pale, bloated hand of Mrs. Rossi floating just beneath the surface, her pink hair ribbon tangled around her wrist. I vomited seawater and blood, my body shaking with cold and rage. Victor had won again. But not for long. The Devil's Hospital. I limped through the city's underbelly, a stray dog with a death wish. The infection in my shoulder had turned my flesh green and weeping, the stench drawing flies. I needed medicine. A bullet. Or both. The Blackthorn facility loomed ahead, its windows dark, its gates hanging open like an invitation. Victor's lab, the place where he'd turned Lila into an experiment, where he'd stored her corpse like a trophy. Finish it, bug, her voice whispered in my ear. The security system was offline, the halls littered with broken glass and abandoned files. I found the pharmacy cabinet raided, painkillers and antibiotics long gone. But in the back of a storage closet, behind a rusted mop bucket, I found her. Lila's body lay on a gurney, still preserved, her face serene under the glow of emergency exit signs. Someone had dressed her in a hospital gown, her hands folded over a slip of paper. You were never supposed to see this. Victor's handwriting. I unfolded the note, my vision blurring. Adrian, betrayal is a language you've yet to master. You think you've lost. This was always the endgame. Come find me. VC. Beneath the note, a syringe filled with neon blue liquid. VX9, the label read. Neurotoxin. Immediate fatality. A gift. A taunt. A challenge. The Judas kiss. Eli found me in the lab, his flashlight beam cutting through the dark. You look like hell's doormat. I didn't lower the gun. How'd you find me? He tossed me a phone, the screen showing a news alert. Fugitive Adrian Voss linked to harbor bombing. Considered armed and psychotic. You're famous, he said. Graves boys are offering a cool 5 mil for your corpse. Even got a tracker on you. He pointed to my shoulder. That infection's got a microchip. Victor's tech. I dug my fingers into the wound, screaming as I clawed out a tiny metal bead. The world swam, black at the edges. Eli caught me before I hit the floor. You're gonna die if we don't clean that. We. He grinned, teeth yellow in the dim light. I want my cut. 50-50. The Safe House Massacre. Eli's clinic was a meth lab in a trailer park, the air thick with ammonia and despair. He stitched my shoulder with fishing line and poured moonshine over the wound, the pain so sharp I bit through my lip. You're lucky I like you, he said, tossing me a bottle of vodka. You don't like anyone. True. But I hate Victor. He spat into a coffee can. Bastard bought my daughter's debt. Made her swallow a bomb when she tried to run. I stared at him. Why tell me? Because you're gonna kill him. He slid a map across the table, a waterfront estate circled in red. Kane residence. Party tonight. Big donors. Politicians. He'll be there. The vodka burned my throat. And you. I'll be the distraction. He patted the grenade launcher leaning against the wall. Merry fucking Christmas. The trailer door exploded. Graves stood in the smoke, his face a patchwork of burns from the harbor, a shotgun in his hands. Hello, Adrian. Eli lunged for the grenade launcher. Graves shot him twice, chest, throat. The old man crumpled, his blood soaking the map. I dove through the window as the trailer erupted in gunfire, Eli's corpse shielding me from the blast. The offering. Victor's estate was a gothic monstrosity, all spires and gargoyles, lit by floodlights that turned the night into day. Limos lined the driveway, their passengers spilling out in glittering gowns and tuxedos, laughing like the world wasn't ending. I slipped through the servant's entrance, the VX-9 syringe tucked in my sleeve. The kitchen staff ignored me, too busy plating caviar and champagne to notice the bloodstained janitor. The ballroom was a nightmare of opulence. A string quartet played Vivaldi as senators and socialites waltzed beneath crystal chandeliers. And there, at the center, was Victor, alive, thriving, his skin grafted and polished, his smile a scalpel. He raised a glass as I stepped into the light. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest of honor. Guards materialized, guns aimed. The crowd parted, whispers rising. Victor limped toward me, his cane clicking on the marble. You look terrible, Adrian. I showed him the VX9. I brought a gift. He laughed. You think I'd let you get close enough to use that? No, I plunged the syringe into my own neck. I think you'll run. The crowd screamed as the toxin hit my veins. Fire. Ice. My vision bled red. Victor's smirk faltered. You're bluffing. I lunged, tackling him to the floor. Burn with me. The fall. Chaos. Gunfire. Shattering glass. I dragged Victor onto the balcony, his cane clattering over the edge. The toxin was melting me from the inside, my muscles seizing, blood bubbling in my throat. He clawed at my face. You're mad. You made me. I slammed his head into the railing, the metal groaning. Below us, the cliffs dropped into the raging sea. Victor spat blood. She begged for you, you know. Lila. Cried your name as the poison ate her lungs. I roared, lifting him over the edge. The wind screamed. Do it, he hissed. You'll never know the truth. What truth? His grin was a death rattle. You killed her. The world stopped. He laughed. The night she died, you left her alone. I just turned up the dose. My grip slipped. Victor's eyes widened. Wait. I let go. He fell silently, swallowed by the waves. I collapsed, the toxin shredding my nerves. The partygoers' screams faded. Lila's face filled my vision, smiling. You did good, bug. Then nothing. Chapter 9, The Endgame. The wind howled like a banshee as I clung to the balcony railing, my knuckles white, the toxin searing through my veins like liquid fire. Below, the waves swallowed Victor's body whole, but his laughter still echoed in my skull, sharp and unyielding. You'll never know the truth. The truth. My legs gave out, and I collapsed onto the cold marble, the VX-9 devouring me cell by cell. Blood trickled from my nose, hot and thick, as the ballroom erupted into chaos behind me. Screams, shattering glass, the staccato rhythm of fleeing footsteps. I didn't care. Let them run. Let them burn. But Lila's face flickered in the haze, her voice cutting through the pain. Finish it, bug. The devil's bargain. I crawled through the mansion's secret passages, the ones Victor had shown me years ago when I was still his loyal hound. The walls pressed close, the air reeking of damp stone and betrayal. My vision blurred, doubling, but I followed the faint hum of machinery to the heart of his empire. The vault. It was open. Victor's final joke. Inside, stacks of cash, diamonds, and a server bank blinking with red lights. A monitor flashed, systems online. Release in T-minus 1 hour 23 minutes and 45 seconds. A video queued automatically. Victor, pristine in a tailored suit, smirking from beyond the grave. Hello, Adrian. If you're seeing this, you've killed me. Bravo. But did you really think I'd let you win? He leaned forward, eyes glinting. This facility is rigged to aerosolize every toxin I've ever developed. VX9 Blackthorn, the works. Enough to turn this city into a graveyard. Unless you input the code, which only I know. The screen split, showing live feeds across the city, subways, hospitals, playgrounds. TikTok pawn. I slammed my fist on the console. You lying bastard. Aha, Victor Tutade. Check the safe. A steel drawer slid open. Inside, a syringe labeled antidote and a note. Admit you killed her. Code, Lila 215. The room spun. 215, the date she died. The truth in the blood. The toxin burned hotter. I gripped the syringe, tears mixing with blood. Admit you killed her. Flashbacks tore through me. Lila's hospital bed. Her frail hand in mine. Don't leave, bug. Me, exhausted, stepping out for coffee. Victor slipping into her room. The hiss of an IV pump. Her last breath. My name on her lips. No, I choked. Victor's voice slithered back. You left her. You let me in. Her blood is on your hands. The antidote glinted. All I had to do was type the code, blame myself, and save thousands. But Victor's games were never fair. I grabbed the server's power cable, yanking it free. The monitor died. Silence. Then alarms wailed. The hounds of hell. Graves found me in the vault, his face a mangled ruin from the harbor explosion, one eye milky blind. Should have taken the deal, he rasped, raising a pistol. I ducked as he fired, the bullet ricocheting off diamonds. My body moved on fumes, the toxin and adrenaline in a death dance. I lunged, driving the antidote syringe into his thigh. He screamed, clawing at his leg. What did you? Insurance, I gasped. The VX-9 hit him fast. He convulsed, foaming, as I snatched his gun. Rot in hell. One bullet. Two. Three. The vault door slammed shut behind me. The last lie. The mansion was a war zone. Mercenaries loyal to Graves fought Victor's remaining guards, their bullets shredding velvet curtains and oil portraits. I stumbled through the carnage, a ghost among wolves, until I reached Victor's study. His ledger lay open on the desk. The final entry. Project Lila, success. Subject 227 terminated. Asset Adrian Voss secured. I vomited, bile and blood pooling on the pages. All these years, I'd been his experiment. His puppet. A glint caught my eye, Lila's locket, hidden in a drawer. Inside, a photo of us at Coney Island, her smile bright, my arm around her. You're my hero, bug. I clenched it in my fist. I'm sorry. The inferno. The mansion's gas lines were easy to cut. The match was easier. I stood on the cliffs, watching the flames devour Victor's legacy, the heat searing my face. The antidote syringe felt heavy in my hand. Live. Or let it end. Lila's voice whispered, choose you. I hesitated. Then I hurled the syringe into the fire. The fall. The cops found me at dawn, half dead on the rocks. I didn't resist. At my trial, they played Victor's videos, edited, of course. Me planting bombs. Shooting Graves. Killing her. The truth buried under lies. The jury took 10 minutes. Guilty. The end.